Hello, friends. I wanted to share a kind of nerdy joy with you, I guess. And that is that as this year, I was able to read through all of Jane Austen's published works in a row. I know Jane Austen is not everyone's cup of tea, but I wanted to share some life lessons that I think really probably can apply to most people and kind of share the joy with you in that I was able to finish all of these. If you are not a big Jane Austen reader, I definitely suggest you go give her a try. She's got a lot of different kinds of books, and she has, not a lot. She's got 6 books that she's published, and I think 1 or 2 of them were published after her death. So she doesn't have a huge collection of books. But the books she does have are really, really beautiful, deep looks at different aspects of the human condition. They're really good looks at relationships. That's one thing. She's a really strong writer in terms of relationships of all kinds. And I love seeing her explore the different avenues. So I thought I'd just take a minute to hop on here and talk with you guys about her 6 different books and different lessons that I have learned from each of these stories. So let's start with Sense and Sensibility, her first book. And this is, this is her first book. It's about 2 sisters. One of them is really rational and one of them is really emotional. And it's just kind of highlighting the differences between these 2 girls. For me, what this book really taught me is it introduced the different sides of her society, and it contrasted. There's a lot of contrast, not just between Sense and Sensibility, but also between wealth and, more financially strained situations in this time period. It also contrasted for me the difference between the crowded city life of this time and the country life of this time. So for me, I think that this book was a really cool introduction into Jane Austen's world because it explores all of these different sides, contrasts them, and kind of shows us what's beautiful about both, but also maybe what's limited about both of these things. So the first book, I really saw unique contrasts in this Regency era world. The other thing I learned, which is not Jane Austen exactly, is that I love reading children books. If you guys haven't seen Children Publishing Company books before, definitely go check them out. Their pages are really glossy, which makes it harder to underline. If you're an underliner, maybe these aren't your books. But the pages are gilded, so the edge of the pages are either gold or silver, and the covers themselves are beautiful. They're floral, they're shiny. And I've realized that reading a book that is beautiful, I knew this already, but Chilton books really reminded me how much reading a book that is beautiful is such a wonderful experience, and it enhances the reading process so much. So absolutely wonderful. The second book I read this year of Jane Austen was Pride and Prejudice. This was actually the first Jane Austen book I ever read when I was a teenager, and I remember flipping out because there's all these moments where I remember as a teenager especially, it hit me that there are some moments in here which are just devastatingly embarrassing, hilarious, drama-filled, and I loved that someone was able to capture this in such an elegant but so clear way. She paints a picture of humor, depth, hope. And the thing that struck me this read through was that I really learned the willingness to change is completely transformative and very conducive to happiness. I don't want to give too much away in case we have anyone on the podcast who has not who hasn't read this or watched it yet. But the characters in this book are deeply flawed and deeply lovable. At least some of them are. All of the characters are flawed and they all have very different personalities. But it's really beautiful seeing how some of them are able to rise above and to change in drastic, unexpected ways and just reach deeper happiness through that. And it just hit me how hard that actually is, but how beautifully she paints this picture of transformation. So the power, the humility to change, the power to change, the desire to change is such an important element of happiness. and can be completely transformative. So that's that. Mansfield Park was another one, is her third book that she published, and it actually has a pretty bad rap of being her least loved work. People either say it's really boring or it's too dark. This is one of the books I had not read before this, and I hadn't read Sense and Sensibility either before this year. And so I started reading through this, and I was actually kind of stunned at how dark and creepy this book was for being a Jane Austen book. I didn't find it boring how some people did. I actually found it to be a page turner, because she doesn't make jump scares in terms of monsters or anything like that, but she does make very monstrous people. She makes them really come alive on the page. There's people in this book who are incredibly manipulative, and they're really, really good at what they do. And so she captures perfectly, and it always makes me wonder when I read her characters like this, who she knew in her friend circle who was this terrible, because she captures it really clearly, vividly. You can see the person working and see how persuasive this person is, how subtly manipulative they are, and it's pretty disturbing. Another reason people often don't like it is not just because it's dark, or not just because the character is, you know, maybe the monstrous character isn't as flashy as monsters of other books, but the other reason people don't like it sometimes is because of Fanny Price. Fanny Price is the main character in this book, and she's kind of a sickly character in terms, you know, she doesn't have good health. She is physically very weak. But I found her to be one of the strongest characters internally that Jane Austen has ever written. So my lesson from this is that strength can take many forms. Fanny Price really impressed me. She's kind of a Cinderella character, where she's brought into this household that's much, it's a station high above her own. So she has this kind of unique situation of being in a very vulnerable spot and really understanding that she does not have an automatic place in this household like the rest of the people there, the two other girls. So it's very Cinderella. But she is unshakable throughout the book. I was absolutely blown away as time went on and these different characters were falling prey to this manipulative character. Everyone is being twisted into something that they shouldn't be, or being hurt by this manipulative character. And she is incredibly, incredibly strong in the face of it all. I realized that strength looks different. And Fanny Price really showed me a new kind of strength that was really inspiring, and was something that I think was admirable, but also it was really dark and just a little bit twisted, I think. And it wasn't my favorite one of hers, but I did find it a page turner because there were constant back and forths between manipulative characters and characters who were trying to take the high road, characters who were trying to do their best. And it was really interesting watching how all that played out. All right, the fourth one I read, the fourth one she had published was Emma. And Emma is absolutely hilarious. I think I did a podcast episode earlier just on Emma. I think so. She's kind of a controversial character where some people absolutely love her, some people absolutely hate her. I've had a lot of people talked with a lot of people who have feelings on both sides of that, both sides of that equation, but they still love the story. And I think it's because Jane Austen doesn't try to make any excuses for her very flawed character, and she just lets her reap the consequences of her own actions in such a real way. It's kind of amusing for those people who don't like Emma, and it's also really inspiring to see her change for those readers who do enjoy it, who do like Emma. So I think there's a couple things to take away from this book. Number one is, don't try matchmaking. It's not going to end well for you or your friends. If you push it too hard without kind of watching the situation. But the main thing I'd actually say that kind of hit me in this book is, beware of doing things for vanity's sake. I think the beginning starts out talking about how Emma is just, she's beautiful, she's rich, she's very lively and intelligent. She's got all of these gifts, and, you know, she's kind of that person that everyone wishes they could be or be friends with in the story. You know, people look up to her because she's got all of these merits that kind of, not that she earned, but that she's just been given. Her beauty, she's very beautiful. She's very smart. She's got a lot of money. But throughout the book, she starts realizing that that is not enough. You have to be more than just your, you know, what you've been given. You have to be more than your social class. You have to be more than your looks, more than, you know, your wit. You have to kind of go deeper than that. And I think that this book so clearly illustrates why you should not just do things for vanity's sake, and it has to go more. You have to think about others more. Otherwise, your actions will have consequences, not just for those people who you've hurt, but for yourself as well. So I think that it's an absolutely incredible story in terms of lesson learned. And on to the fifth Jane Austen book I read this year, Northanger Abbey. This one is actually my current least favorite. Jane Austen is really good at illustrating characters and not exaggerating humans, because human beings are already pretty dramatic on their own, but she's really good at highlighting ridiculous elements of humanity or obnoxious elements of humanity. And oftentimes in previous books I've mentioned, it ends up being really funny. Like if you guys have ever watched Pride and Prejudice, you all know how much fun it is. Like we all, I don't know, at least I really look forward to some of those Mr. Collins scenes that are so cringy because it's kind of fun to laugh at him. Like she brings it out in a really funny way. But I felt like with Northanger Abbey, she had too many ridiculous characters and not enough contrasting really strong or, you know, virtuous or transforming characters. I felt like it was a little bit too much cringe and it kind of got annoying. Jane Austen, for those of you who haven't read her actual books, she's got a very sarcastic writing style. It's pretty hilarious to read. She's very, she loves making witty little jokes just even between the dialogue in the way she writes about people. It's delightful. It's delightful to read. It feels still very fresh and modern. And I love it. But I feel like in this book, she was writing it as a bit of a satire. And I understand that, but I felt like it ended up being a little bit biting. Her sarcasm started to feel a little bit more bitter to me, and I didn't really enjoy that. This book taught me, don't read sensational books. I mean, Jane Austen is making fun of sensational novels in this book, and that's where we get the kind of biting, the biting writing style and some characters that are a little nonsensical, and she's trying to make fun of books that are a little over sensationalized. I think I already kind of knew that, but this definitely drilled it in. Don't read something that's sensational. It is possible for books to make you stupid or not smarter if you read the wrong ones. And I definitely did a whole episode, probably shortly after reading Northanger Abbey, on why you shouldn't just read anything. It's actually quite, quite dangerous. I think that was my main critique of that book is, or my main takeaway from that book is, reading can sometimes make you stupid, and that's not what we normally think of, but it is definitely true. All right, and that brings us to our sixth and final book that Jane Austen had published, or that was published by Jane Austen, and that is Persuasion. I had read this one before as well in high school, and I remembered loving it, but I didn't remember everything that happened in it. And it was so delightful to take a stroll through these pages again and revisit places and characters that I had long forgotten. But I realized that, you know, it was fun seeing them from a more hopefully mature and advanced intellectual perspective than when I was first reading it. And these characters are really strong. I think I liked how a lot of these characters were really able to just take control of their own lives in a really cool way. So one thing I learned from this story is the beauty of waiting. I think there's some people in the book who kind of rush into certain situations, and it's problematic for them. And there's other characters who wait a little bit longer, and it's incredibly, excruciatingly painful to wait when there's something that they want, but they wait till it's the right time to get that. And this, I think, is a really hard life lesson, especially nowadays in our era of instant gratification. The idea of waiting being at all good is kind of mind-boggling sometimes, and it's something that I know to be true. There are times when waiting is the right thing to do, but it's very hard sometimes to feel that and to see that. And I think that this book was a really beautiful illustration of how that can sometimes be really good. Not always. She also makes that really clear. But these characters have the inner strength to wait for what they want when they feel like it's right, and they get rewarded for it in a really cool way. That's my thoughts on that. And the other thing I really noticed from this book is not to underestimate quiet strength. There's a character who, you know, she doesn't have a lot of pull socially or in her family, maybe. And so she has to kind of work within the limits that she's been given. And that's, I think, true to life. You know, we all have our own limitations, whether they're the social class we're born into, the finances, the physical abilities that we have. We all have limits. But this main character, Anne, is, I think, a really beautiful example of how to work within that. She's respectful to those around her, but she is insistent on what she wants to do. Especially as she gets older and she starts to learn, like, there are things that she does not want to bend on. And I think that that's really cool, seeing her kind of make space for herself, making space for what she feels is right, following the paths that she wants while also living, you know, peacefully within her limits. I think that's a really hard balance to hit, and it's something that she does really, really well. So those are the 6 Austen books that I have finished so far. It's been a joy, and it's been such a journey that it's kind of, when I closed the last page of Persuasion, I felt just a tiny bit sad as well, like just so happy and so grateful that I was able to get to read all these books, which used to be really like a little bit more challenging for me. And now they're just kind of the books that I read before bed because they're just so engaging, entertaining, and fun. So I was really excited about that. Loved all the life lessons. I feel like I've grown while reading them, not just from the lessons I've talked about, but so many other little ones. And also just such a beautiful writing style in all the books that I feel like I've grown hopefully as a writer just by reading through those. What was I going to say after that? Now it's closed, and I'm hoping to start reading more of Jane Austen's stuff, some of her unpublished works that never made it to print, maybe some of her journals, or read things about her, because I think that it's fascinating me, and it's kind of, after being with her for 6 books, I don't really want to say goodbye yet, and I want to learn some more. So if you haven't read Jane Austen, please give it a try. I want to do an episode at some point on which Jane Austen to start with, so keep an eye out for that. Happy reading, friends. I'll talk to you next time.